Welcome to Failing Up, a podcast where we explore failure.
Why we're afraid of it, why we try to avoid it, and the success that can arise directly from it.
Failure comes in many shapes and forms. It can even mean different things to different people.
This show, Failing Up, intends to explore all aspects. These are the stories of people who have experienced profound failures that ultimately led them to something positive.
We hope this helps us all learn and grow. Thanks for listening.
My name is Eden.
And I'm Guy.
Cool. Great.
Recording. Hopefully. I always worry. Like, when I get home, my biggest worry is I take the little, you know.
But you didn't press record?
No, I just worry that it didn't record. Like, we've had incidents, Nuzzy and I, before. Like, the worst one was we did an amazing video interview with Charlie Murphy backstage at, like, the Improv. About half an hour. He killed. We were, like, crying. We go home. He's like, yeah, it didn't record.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you want to, like, jump out of the fucking building?
I'd shoot myself. I've had that happen before. I used to do a lot of them. I used to do hosting work, and there was a couple times when our sound didn't work or whatever. We had a really big star, and we were from, like, I'm from Canada, so no one gave a shit about us. But every once in a while, we'd rope in a celebrity, like I'd, you know, show them my tips. But I would get one in, and then I'd actually talk to them, and there was one that we lost. Who was it? Was it Nick Cage? No, Nick Cage was fine. But, like, for us, it was Matthew McConaughey. And we got Matthew McConaughey, and I don't know how he came over, because usually they would ignore us. And then finally we got him, and then the sound didn't work. So we couldn't use it. I was just, like, cutting, like, no.
On the original podcast, Decently Funny, Nuzzy and I had that happen kind of two times with one person, Michael Ian Black.
No way! Yeah.
We recorded an interview. It was, like, it was probably my favorite interview to ever do. Oh. We did it over the phone. It didn't record. So then he's nice enough to do it again. And in the middle of recording, we realize it's not recording.
No!
And he's like, guys. No. Like, so the funniest part is he actually came on a third time, but he was physically in the room and he sat down. And I said, hey, Michael, nice to meet you. And he's like, nice to meet you. I said, you actually have met us two times before. And when he found out who we were, he was like, he goes, if I knew it was you guys, I wouldn't have come to the podcast. I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Was he serious?
He seemed kind of serious. I mean, he's a very dry dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've met him before. He's tough to gauge. He's like, I think you're joking, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Please.
There's definitely an element of seriousness in there just because he was so annoyed by us. And I understand it, you know?
Right.
It's the growing pains. Eliza Bain.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. I think that whole story might just stay in the podcast.
I think so.
That's
a good intro.
That's failure right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Failure.
And I would not have done 200 plus successful podcasts without those kind of failures. Like,
well, and now you check.
Yeah, it's inspirational.
Yes. But I do, when I go home, the first thing I do, I put it in the machine. I'm like, whew, okay, it recorded. I don't know why.
Why the first thing when you go home? Because it's not like, if you do it like 10 minutes later, it's not going to change anything.
I know, but it's like it's a neurotic thing.
It's still not going to happen.
You want to just make sure that that file is there and it will pull on your computer, and then when you press play, that it actually plays.
Right.
It's from somebody who's been hurt.
Yeah.
We've messed up
too many
times.
Could you imagine if, like, well, that's why, I mean, technology is out to get us, so.
Are you anti?
Yeah. Huh?
You're anti-technology?
No, but, like, how funny would it be if, like, Harper Lee wrote To Kill a Mockingbird and then, like, fell asleep and put, like, press delete, and then it's all gone.
Right.
Yeah. One day the machines will rise.
Yeah,
will.
Is that a real movie?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Eliza, you're a Canadian, right?
That's right.
From what side of Canada? The western side of Canada?
The western side,
like
from
the
Vancouver.
That's
area? Right.
Okay. Yeah. And growing up, was it a normal childhood for a young Eliza Bain?
Oh, no!
Yeah, Canadian
kid. Are we really starting with this?
Tell
oh, my God.
Tell me about
God.
Your mother. No, seriously, though. I mean, I'm just wondering what it was like to grow up in Vancouver.
In Vancouver, it was great. It's interesting because it's a lot like Seattle. It's always raining.
Yeah.
So you get stuck inside a lot. So there's not, like, a lot of sports or being social. You play a lot of video games.
Great, hermits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, I learned to write, and I learned to kind of be okay with staying inside. So
indoor voice.
Indoor, yeah.
Do you think people there drink more than, like, down here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I lived in Columbus, Ohio for like a year and a half, and I felt like everybody drank more.
Yeah. Why?
200 gloomy days a year. Yeah, for work. But I really felt like everybody drank more because you were stuck inside
in Ohio.
And there was nothing to do.
You were stuck in Ohio. Yeah, that's what they were drinking.
Landlocked in Ohio.
It's like, what am I going to do with my life? I'm stuck in Ohio.
They should give you a discount on alcohol.
They really should. Well, it was. It's much cheaper to live in Ohio, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There you
go. It's like $10 for a mansion.
They should pay you.
Well, I always say when people are like, California is so expensive, I said, that's because it's worth it.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
it's so expensive. And that's why Ohio is so cheap. That's right true. There. That's so, yeah. Vancouver, mm-hmm. normal childhood, you're saying?
Oh,
no?
Yeah, no. No, no, no.
No?
Not at all. I have three sisters and I have one mother. And I grew up with all girls. And one bathroom to rule them all.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. So you learn to share. Well,
it was like a sorority.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but like not fun.
Where do you
that actually fall? Sounds more fun.
Really?
Where do you fall? Are you the oldest?
Second oldest.
Second oldest. Okay. So you probably had a good bathroom privilege because you were second oldest.
Yes, exactly.
The That's youngest exactly right. one just got screwed, I assume.
Oh, yeah. No, she like just
her
had
hair's
to wet
still a mess.
Yeah, she's like wet the bed, you know. That's fine, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you get used to it.
Yeah. This guy knows about bedwetting.
Oh, really?
Well, not for me personally, but I actually did go out with a girl that had an issue with that. So,
whoa, yeah. Like an adult?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a drinking issue more than just as much as a bedwetting issue.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that didn't last too long.
And I don't have kids, so I can't relate.
But I will tell you, if you sleep next to somebody who has that issue, yes, there's no hiding it.
Wow. So she didn't tell you in advance?
The first time it happened, not only did she not tell me in advance, I woke up in the morning, she was gone, but the bed was wet. Wet, like soaked. And then I didn't see her for like 6 or 7 months. And then we hooked up again and it happened again.
Gross.
I was like, hey, you know that's this hard. Happened the first time, right? And she's like, yeah, I have an issue where like if I drink too much, I
become a baby.
Wetting
the bed. Wow.
Yeah, so I used to have her sleep on towels.
If I drink.
If she drank.
Get like those little doggy pee pads.
I was going to say, or that's like a diaper.
Cute.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not cute. No.
Get her, it depends. One hey, morning, Lisa Rinna wears that.
One morning we had gone out a bunch of times and so she slept over. I wake up in the morning, my back's all wet.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
What? And warm. And you're like, what the hell? And then she's not even in the bed, right? So I leave the bed and why am I telling this story? So I leave the bed and I walk into the living room and she's just comfortably sleeping on my couch. And so I wake her up. I'm like, hey. And she's like, what? I said, you peed the bed. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, well, why didn't you wake me up? And she's like, you were sleeping.
That's like my dog.
That's thoughtful.
I said, no. The one time you can wake me up is when you pee in the bed. Because that's when now we're going to go and wash the sheets and try to clean the urine out of the bed.
So then did she leave to go to sleep on the couch because she didn't want to sleep in her own pee?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
How did we get here?
It's almost like when, you know, when you're like stay over and there's like perfume in the bed after they're gone and it's romantic, except this is like totally not at all like that. It's kind of gross.
It's like on par with like Axe Spray.
Yeah, basically. They smell the same.
Yeah.
I do have a new mattress now in case any of you ladies are wondering. I threw that one away. I gave it away with her at the same time. I'm like, take her with the mattress if you don't mind. Pretty horrible. So you grew up without a dad?
I did.
Is that what you're saying?
I did.
Okay. And so that was that a tough thing for you? Or do you think like you just adapted?
Gosh, let me think. It was weird. It was weird because I had a lot of friends who had dads, obviously. So I'd kind of go over there and I'd be like, hey, look, it's a dad. That's so cool. And then that's basically, it was just weird because I was surrounded by women my entire life.
Yeah.
So you don't have that male influence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you grow up, you know, with daddy issues.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So a young Eliza Bain, what does she want to do when she grows up?
Oh, let's see. Well, I used to want to be, I play piano, so I used to want to be a pianist.
You were a prodigy.
Yes. Yeah. So
Five years old, you figured it out yourself.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
A little bit, yeah. I was watching cartoons, I remember, and my mom told me to turn the television off, and there's a lot of like classical music in cartoons. So basically she told me to turn the TV off and I actually was like, you know what? We had a piano. And I said, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to play that. And so I got up and I started playing it.
You just instinctively knew how to do that.
Yeah. Really weird.
I mean, as a person who's taken piano lessons for years and years, that's amazing.
You can
just do it by, you know what it makes me think of? Like, I think people who can sing kind of have this talent, but also I was just thinking about this because of our friend Rachel Butera, that impressionists kind of have that same thing. It's I feel like it's the same thing as like somebody who can take a song and sing it. It's you know, oh, I hear this person and I'm just gonna mimic it. They could just they know how to sing it. The imitation is the song in a sense, right?
Absolutely.
They're just copying that song.
Yeah. So. Or people that can draw.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me too. Yeah.
I can't do anything.
But you're that though. You have to understand. Yeah. You're that for piano.
For piano, yeah. Yeah.
And so at that point you're like, wow, I want to take this further. Do you take lessons?
I did take lessons for a little while because everyone was just like, oh, you've got to get into piano lessons. And then I ended up not really reading. I ended up basically getting my teachers to play it for me. And then I would just kind of play it back and just kind of pretend to turn the pages and waste my mom's money. And that's pretty great for a few years. And then I wanted to kind of do that. And then I'm not really sure what exactly happened. I guess like high school kind of came around and then I was in dance. I was in a bunch of stuff.
So you're an audible learner.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Can you read music now?
Not at all.
Really?
Nothing.
Huh. Can you, if you hear a song, can you still go over to the piano and figure it out?
Yeah.
Even today?
I think so. I haven't played for a few years.
Because I knew a girl like that and she went to Juilliard. Like, did you ever consider that kind of thing?
I did, yes, but it is all very expensive.
Yeah. That's people forget how expensive that place
is. Yeah, you jerk.
Sorry. That's true.
But you know, if we had Bernie, it'd be free. So
yeah, that's right. That's a really great point, you guys. Really great point.
Unfortunately, if it were free, though, also like probably Donald Trump's kids could have to.
Well, they're not going to anything.
Yeah, they're not accepted anywhere.
They're going to be busy hunting.
Right.
Right.
For taco bowls. Yeah.
So
hunting our taco salad.
Somebody tweeted
building a wall.
Even his lunch has walls.
Yeah. You know what? Can I just say this?
Like, I think that was me.
Was it?
Yes. But I've seen that kind of tweet everywhere, and then like Colbert and like all these late night people were saying the exact same joke and I'm like, oh my god, can we get more creative?
Like, can you search on Twitter before you do your late night joke?
Exactly. That's what was bothering me. Yeah. The late night people were harping in on that. Anyway, so after you did piano and dance and is that what you kind of wanted to do with your, you know, do you want to be something creative or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in like dance, I was in ballet, I was in tap, I was in jazz.
Good Lord.
I was in a whole bunch of stuff.
How are you not in Hamilton right now?
Right? I know. Well, what ended up happening is I got really tall. Is I was in ballet and I was supposed to go to this, like, I think it was called the National Winnipeg Ballet or something. And I grew really tall. And they were just like, hell no.
Really?
Yeah, you have to be. Well, now I think it's changing. Okay. But when I was younger, you had to be quite small. Because the male ballerinas are very, very small.
Oh, that's true.
So when you go towards them in a swan dive, you don't want them running away.
It's like, oh, shit, guys. Like,
what the hell is this? That's a huge bitch.
So I assume, though, it sounds like you were always kind of into entertaining people in one respect or the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, I mean, according to your IMDb page.
Oh, no.
You began your career in radio. So how did that, is that true?
That is true.
Okay, because it was written by Anonymous. Quote, unquote.
Maybe it's you. I have a friend who came Anonymous, yeah. She's great. She's awesome.
But did you go to school for radio?
I did not, actually. No, I competed in this contest they were looking kind of like for like a morning zoo crew person. Yeah. Like, you know, so they basically, it was kind of like an American Idol style thing where they kind of, I don't know, got people to do really weird things and like go on the street with like secretly mic'd. So I had to do all these crazy things for like 2 or 3 months. And I had to go and pretend that I was in dentistry school and ask people if they could sell me a drill when I was at like a hardware store. And I was like, I can't afford like drills. Can you guys sell me a drill? And they were like, surprisingly, they would totally do it. They were like, you know what? This one's cool. And then I'd be like, do you have it in pink? Because it was really fun. And then basically they let me start doing like their morning stuff and I would go with them on location and kind of do some stuff there.
So you won? Is that what you're saying?
No, I actually came in, you know, I actually came in second. It was like kind of a tie. It was between me and this guy, but he had some other previous experience. So they gave it to him. Those bastards.
Because it was a guy. You know?
I know, right?
They have to give it to the guy.
Well, you know who also came in second?
Who?
Last week's guest,
Oh,
Dave
I know.
Holmes.
God, who?
Dave Holmes.
Oh,
came
yes,
in second.
Yes.
Second on Who Wants to Be a VJ.
You know what kind of thing? Yes. It seems that if you just come in second, that's like the best bet.
You know why? Because it probably hurts. And then there's some sort of drive beyond that where you're like, no, fuck them. I'm going to prove that I deserve that. Right?
Right. Right.
Did just you have that feeling?
Bitterness? Yeah. Anger? Pent up?
Were all of those a part of?
Well, I mean, I think it kind of makes you examine yourself you have to ask yourself, well, do I really want to do this? Because if it hurts, then you have to be a complete either a psycho or you have to really, really want it to continue. So it really helps you figure that out.
And so now you're in radio. You're guesting kind of like on the show?
Yeah, I kind of would do like little, like they'd bring me in to do like funny morning voices, and then they get me to write stuff for the morning show and little bits and comedy segments. And then I'd go on like to these really crazy like car washes and hand out hot dogs. And then I'd be like, hey, we're here at the car wash handing out hot dogs. Come on by. All right.
In Vancouver?
Yeah.
They have car washes when it rains so much?
They do.
Yeah. Like once a year probably.
This is the day.
That's why they need radio stations.
It's not raining. Get your car washed.
That's right.
So you were doing remotes, is what they call them,
yes,
I believe.
That's right. Yes.
And then you get sick of that, or what? Something had to propel you to end up coming down here, right?
What ended up doing it for me? Let's see. I started working for a television show where I was hosting for like a video game show. And I came down here and I got to go to all these really cool events and interview people. And I really liked it here. And everyone's so creative here, and there's just so much work here, and I loved it. So
that also, sounds too easy.
It's not raining.
I know.
It wasn't. It was never that easy. I'm just kind of trying to cut to the chase here.
Yeah. Well, we have a podcast to talk about here. So you were on G4.
Yeah.
That's the first television station you
Canada,
got on.
G4 Canada.
Okay. Well, yeah. You don't have to put the caveat. It's okay, G4.
Take it out in post.
And then you went. And then you went to like the, you know, E3 and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. How fun was E3?
So much fun. I'm not even that big of a gamer or anything like that, but it's so much fun. And the amount of money that's behind this stuff is crazy.
Nuts.
Like I went to this one thing where it was like a James Bond video game, and everyone was like dressed up, and they had the Bond girls, and then you had to, like, they gave you like a little bow tie, and they gave you martinis, and it was like in this really nice hotel, and I was just freaking out because I'm a huge James Bond fan. So anyways, it was just crazy, but there's just so much money behind this stuff, so they put on really big gigs.
And at that point, are you like, okay, this is where my life is. I want to be on TV.
Well, it wasn't so much about, for me, it wasn't about really being on TV so much as kind of just creating stuff. So for me, I was just like, it's fun for me to be on TV. I like performing and I like being able to do that. But more important for me is to be able to create something that's funny and be able to create something that's entertaining. So whatever that is, and I did it for radio and then I did it on TV. But like basically anytime I can create something for whatever genre, like that's what really makes me happy.
So if I said, hey, you want to go back to radio and like I have an opportunity for you in radio, yeah. Cool.
Absolutely. For sure. For shizzle.
Interesting. You would think that, no, because some people, you know, they get over
well,
it.
Well, radio is really fun because it's like, because it's not like doing a TV show where you're like an actor in it and you have to just get to set every day and look a certain way and you have to prep.
Right.
Radio is, you can just look like I do right now.
You can eat sandwiches. And it's like, who cares? Like,
yeah, but no, they don't pay at this point. Like radio is just the worst for making money. Nobody makes money in radio.
I don't know. Ryan Seacrest is doing pretty well. Yeah. He's still doing his morning.
He's doing everything though. He's got all the gigs.
I know. So he won't give any possible. Up.
Between Seacrest and Howard Stern, there's just no money on the radio anymore. Yeah.
And now Dr. Drew left.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, but really, if you think about it,
now it's all podcasts.
Few and far between. Yes, they're making all the money in the world.
But you have to do it for the love.
Yeah,
you
it's fun.
Do it for the love. And I mean, that's kind of cheesy, but it's also true.
And so, okay, so you're on radio, and then you say to yourself, "I want to be on television." Before, like, and you start auditioning, or like,
I forgot about that part. Gosh, some of the stuff I'm just like, I wonder if I put it away because it's just traumatizing. No, I actually was doing a lot of like commercial and voiceover work for a while. I used to get a lot of cheesy commercials for some reason. That was sort of my jam for a while.
So, like, what kind would you like? Oh, this like Clorox, like that kind of stuff.
No,
it's not butter.
No, I couldn't get any of that stuff. I could never get any of that stuff for some reason. Like the spokesperson thing not at all. But it was usually something like really bad. Like if it was like Vagisil or if it was something really cheesy that I would go and be like, please God, please, I don't want this. I hate this, and I would absolutely book it. And I'd just be like, all right, well, whatever.
It's money.
What kind
it's
of
money.
Stuff did you have to say for Vagisil? Like.
I think actually it was just kind of like a scene that we played out kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Like nothing gross. Okay. I'm going down a path here that's going to sound really gross. But like you'd just be kind of hanging out, and then there'd be like some voiceover person that would be like, do you got that itch? Or something terrible.
For douching. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, just like stuff like that. Really cheesy. But usually a scene. There would be a scene.
Right,
like
right.
I had my purse stolen or something. I had to run after a kid. Whatever. But they're all cheesy. Like my auditioning experience for commercials is one of the most humbling things you can ever do.
Oh yeah, I hear you.
It's do you go out?
I used to do them. I don't do them as much anymore. But like it's the worst.
It's the worst because you go in.
You feel like cattle.
You feel like cattle. And I don't don't know if it's like that this here, but when I was in Canada and we would audition, they would bring you in and there's like four or five of you and they'd be like, okay, so it's because they want to see how, if you can sell a product.
Yeah.
So basically they're trying to get you to just, you know, they want to see your charm and they want to see your personality. So they say, okay, so what's your favorite kind of pizza or something? And the person will be like, I love pepperoni, you know, pepperoni's so great. And also my favorite kind. And they just kind of, and then because they're trying to gauge how like bubbly and funny you are, right, if you can sell their thing. So they'd get to me and I'd be like, I don't like dairy. I'm like, gluten's kind of weird for me. Like, I get kind of bloated sometimes. So I don't know. Did I get it?
But that to me is more relatable, personally.
Right.
Like I don't want an obnoxious person selling me pizza. I want someone that can be like, this will make you bloated, so you should buy it.
I keep it real. That's basically what I do.
So yeah, did you see a lot of success with, was auditioning difficult for you, or did you?
It's terrible. It was for me. I have so many terrible auditioning stories for commercials. Like I would actually have people kind of gather around the campfire like once a week. Hey, what happened?
Really?
Tell us what happened. Oh yeah, like because a lot of it is improv. And you get, it's just such a crapshoot because you'll go in and sometimes you'll be with somebody who's like a super ham and they'll go way off script and you're just kind of standing there like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I had one guy, we were supposed to be chopping carrots. They actually gave us a knife. I feel like that would probably be a bad idea here, but they gave us a knife and like a carrot. And we're supposed to be chopping vegetables, like me and my quote husband. Ew. And so we're chopping vegetables like at a barbecue and it's like, oh, no lines or anything.
Shit.
So he's like, hey, honey, I can't wait to get in the bedroom with you. And I was like, okay, just all right. And I'm trying to just steer him away from all this stuff. He picks up this huge carrot and he holds it to my face and he says, here. Eat it. Stick it in your mouth. And so I was just so pissed off. So I grabbed the carrot. So both of our hands are both on this carrot. And I'm like, you eat it. You eat it. You eat the carrot. And so we're like basically shoving it towards each other like a tug of war. And I'm just like, why isn't anyone stopping this? Stop this. This is madness. It was just horrible. And anyway,
they were curious to see where it was going to go.
They totally were. Like they were just completely like mesmerized. Like, what is happening? And, you know, they're eating popcorn. And like it was just so like, you don't do that to somebody. Yeah. Like you just don't do that to somebody. But I will say, like afterwards, they came up to us and they were like, you guys, that was hilarious. I don't know where you guys got that idea. That was hilarious. I ended up booking that. Hey, there's a story. I ended up booking it because they thought I did that on purpose.
Are you a improv person? Do you do improv? Like
I don't right now, but I used to.
Okay. So it is, because I know some people in improv, and that is like a huge thing where you really need to trust and have that other person part of that same, your same thought process, because if not, it can go really awry and they can make you look stupid.
Yeah.
And he kind of did, but it worked out in a sense.
Yeah, it did.
In that
respect. Yeah, he didn't get it. That would have been brutal if we were both there just...
Still turns fighting into, over just, the carrot.
Oh, this carrot just turns carrot into a completely different thing. Like, oh, man.
Oh, no.
That was for French's mustard, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Why was a carrot involved with that?
I think, I don't even know. Some of this stuff, when you go in, you're just like, what was the thought process behind this? I think we're supposed to be getting ready for a barbecue. And the thing was, the commercial didn't even have anything to do with
again,
that.
Again, where do you, when do you barbecue carrots?
I don't know. That's so weird.
I'm never at a barbecue being like, you know what? This barbecue needs some more carrots.
No, I'm just like, give me some chips. Give me the bad stuff. Who brings carrots? No one wants carrots.
Yeah. Got, like, that's like someone coming to a dinner party and like, I will bring a salad. It's like, we don't want you. We don't want you.
I just bring plates and cups because I'm a shitty cook.
So. I bring ice. I'm always just like, because I'm always the last person there. Hey, you guys need ice? Any ice?
It's true. You always need ice.
Right?
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's right, you guys. Life hack.
There you go. Just bring ice.
That's Eden's other podcast.
Other show.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
Snacks, yeah, we talk about hacks. But anyway, so you moved down here. You kind of fell in love. Or I guess, I don't know. Fell in love with LA.
yeah. No, it's such a great city. I mean, it's very difficult. It's very different from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to Vancouver?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yes. I haven't.
Oh, wow. What did you think? Yeah, you liked it?
I did. I did go down that one street with all the drug addicts on it. You know what I'm talking about? That they're actually like in public.
Oh, hell yeah,
up.
I do. Yeah, yeah. It's the worst. It's like Hastings and it's like...
Yes.
I used to...
But our hotel was on that same road. So eventually... Like, seriously, is a street where people, it's kind of like a skid row. Uh-huh. It is skid row where people are literally on the streets just like trading drugs, shooting drugs, like hundreds of people milling around. Yeah. And then you go down the street and it's like the rich district, essentially.
Yes.
But I thought Vancouver was like just such a beautiful city. Oh, that's so mountains great. Are right there. And yeah, it's a great little place to visit. I can't complain at all about my time there. So, but yes. It's not easy as a Canadian to start working as like in the entertainment business in LA, right? Like, I mean, is that an ordeal for you?
Well, the thing is luckily, you know, when you do enough work, and if you do a lot of work on camera, it's easier to get over here. Like, because it's basically you kind of have to build your case to be like, I'm just as good. You know, you should believe in me. I'm a good enough person. Because you're basically competing. You have to say, you know, you should be in this city because it helps your career and it's the next logical step, basically. So you kind of have to compile like a little scrapbook of all your stuff. And then
I bet that was easy for Shania Twain. Like, here's my little scrapbook of songs. Can I be American now?
But did you always just believe that it was going to happen? Or were there discouraging moments for you?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like for every success, I've had, I don't know, 100 failures. Like, really? There's so many failures for one success. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a thought in mind of, like, what your biggest failure is?
What my biggest failure is? Wow. Let's see. What's my biggest failure? I mean, there was one time when I first came out here, I was producing because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I wanted to be creative. That's all I knew. I was just like, I want to be creative. But I wasn't writing. I hadn't done writing yet. So I ended up getting a job producing, super random. I ended up producing this show for the French network. And I don't speak French. But I ended up producing this show. And it was like a sex show. Really fun show. Like fun sex show. But I ended up, it was like this super, it was my first job here. And it was so dodgy. It was in this, basically, it was in the lobby of another company where they'd set up IKEA fold-out chairs and tables for us to work on. And the production company made Asian tentacle porn.
That is amazing. How is that a failure?
No, that's right. Exactly.
That sounds like the biggest win of all.
Exactly. So like I would go to work and they didn't have like, they had basically like dividers. They didn't have like walls so you could hear everything. So I'd be trying to work and I'd just hear, Oh my God. And I'd just be like, concentrate. God, concentrate. Concentrate. Don't think about the tentacle porn. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then I worked with this.
God, first world problems, huh?
Right? Wow. Yeah. And then, so then I worked with this guy there who was just a total head case. And he was trying to, like, get me. I was doing really good, well, like, at the job. And they really love my stuff. And
we'd love your tentacles. Like,
I wasn't working, just for the record. I was not affiliated with any sort of tentacle porn. No tentacles, no porn at all. Basically, I was working with this guy who would try to, like, trap me or, like, set me up. Like, he would move my stuff around on my desk. And then he would try to, like, get me in trouble. It was really, really weird.
Creepy.
And yeah, it was very strange. And so at the end, I ended up kind of, you know, going in birds a-blazing. I was like, fuck you guys, I'm fucking out of here. Like, I basically did that because it was just a total shit show.
Huh.
Oy.
But I learned, well, first of all, I learned what tentacle porn was. So that's a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you need to know in
you
this
need
industry.
You really do. It really comes in handy. And then I also just learned that, you know, you have to kind of stand up for yourself. Like I was basically working at this really weird, it was just such a weird environment and I actually had to, and I needed the money, but I realized, you know what? I can't work in this crazy environment.
Yeah.
And I ended up having to just tell them all to just fuck off basically.
So it was like a Jerry Maguire, like who's coming with me? But you didn't want anybody to come with
you. Totally. Who's come with me? I am. It wasn't
Thank
really
you,
as.
Eliza.
Thank you, me. It wasn't quite as poignant, but, you know, in my head.
I hope you took a fish with you on the way out.
I took a little tentacle on my way out.
Taking this DVD and you can't stop me.
So, yeah. And then also after that, I realized that I wanted to write.
Yeah.
So that kind of helped.
That's a good
give me that last, shove out the door. Yeah.
It's like, maybe you should just write and not stick to tentacle porn.
What was the first thing that you wrote that was like out there for public consumption?
What was the first thing that I wrote? I mean, it might have even been Twitter. It might have just been.
You just got on Twitter, and that's what gave you your
voice. I feel like that's what it is for a lot of people. Yeah.
Jenny Johnson's one of those stories.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, and I think people act like, oh, Twitter gave birth to like all these writers. And I'm like, no, these writers would have done it in a journal anyway. But we all hate ourselves all the time.
That's very true.
And like, I think every writer I talk to almost about this is like, well, at least on Twitter, I can get some sort of validation that I haven't lost it yet.
Huh, yeah.
But I still got it. Like, someone out there likes what I wrote.
Yeah.
Even if it's short.
It's interesting because I do see a lot of people who are in this industry who have like huge resumes, and even they love that sort of validation, that instant kind of validation, which is so weird to me because it's just
really
like,
weird. What?
But you're so successful. Why does that matter?
I know it. Cause I think people, especially with writing, I think that they think that they're losing it or like, oh, I can't keep up anymore. I've lost my creativity so I think that's, but I also know people that have a huge resume and they don't get Twitter.
Yeah.
Like they just don't understand like why people
and
like
that's
it
exactly
so much.
What they say. They go, I don't get Twitter.
I don't either.
What
the hell am I doing?
I don't get Snapchat.
I don't get it either.
Like, how is looking like a dog, like, I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's creative. I think you know how to use a filter. I think that's all.
Nothing makes me feel 40 more than Snapchat. Like, seeing something on Snapchat, I'm like, ugh.
I'm like, old. I am not this old, right?
But like, speaking of Twitter, one of my favorite tweets of all time is from Eliza.
Oh, get out of here. Really.
There's no I in anxiety. Wait, yes, there is. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That tweet, you want to see how easy it was for me to look up that tweet? I just wrote, oh my God, oh my God. And there were 35 people like from yesterday that stole it from you. Like
that
has
so
to be
sweet.
One
That's
of the most stolen tweets I've
really?
Ever
that
seen.
That is so wonderful.
Oh my
wonderful.
God. Yeah.
That's great. This one time I saw like I was looking at some company, I told you about this, like some like stupid dress company on Instagram, and they sometimes will take a meme and it was like, oh, I know that meme. I came up with that.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
And then I find the trail and I'm like, yep, it's mine.
And then what do you do?
Well, then I emailed them and I was like, you know, that's kind of shitty that you pay these fashion bloggers like $1,000 to post a picture of them wearing your dress and like you use my words that is creative and I guess it is what I do. Yeah. It's not fair that you just steal it. And they're like, oh, okay. Would you like a $50 towards a dress from our store? Only our store. Like, can I just get
and each dress is $400.
And I was like, can I just get $50? And they're like, no, just from our store.
Well, good for you for trying. Good for you for fighting.
Oh,
the fight.
I fought the fight.
Never give up.
Did you ever go after people who steal your tweets or anything like that?
You know, I just had Tommy Chong, whether it was him or his social media person, I don't know, take one of my tweets. But he did rewrite it. Whoever was doing his thing did rewrite it. He did replace the word Chili's with Applebee's. So, you know, totally different. You know, I got it.
What was the tweet?
The tweet was, what was it? Oh, I think it was something like, Donald Trump has literally no political experience, but you need 5 years experience managing a Chili's or something. Yeah. Something like that.
That's unique enough that like...
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, well, this is just a normal joke format where I'm like, I think it's innocent.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, yeah, this is just what they're
Here's
doing.
The thing about Tommy Chong. I actually have mentioned this before. I like Tommy Chong. I have met him. He's a nice guy. I know for a fact he doesn't run his own social media account. He has multiple people running a social media account. And I've said to people in the past, at first, it was like he would take meme pictures and make it like he would just write the same caption. Not him, but his people. And I'm like, nobody's calling him out for that.
Yeah.
But I saw that he stole it from you, and I'm like, no, no, no. That's going too far. Like, even stealing somebody's picture and caption is one thing, but, like, to just flat out steal somebody's tweet, come on. Tommy Chong's better than that, you would hope.
I don't mind. Tommy, you hurt my feelings, if you're listening.
Yeah.
You hurt my
feelings. He's too stoned.
And I know plenty of people who have... No, I know plenty of people who have people writing their tweets for them, and they don't do that.
I don't have a problem with it unless it's, like, a company that's making money off it. That's what bothered me the most. Mm-hmm. And how, like, they pay other people to wear their shit. That bothers me. And... So stuff like that, but like it's usually like some teenager who has like 10 followers, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'll still like search an old tweet of mine and see it 1,000 times and get a little bit mad.
Fun things to do in your rainy day, guys. Yeah. Look at your old tweets, see who stole them.
No, I'll tell you why I do it. Because sometimes I'll see an old tweet and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I ever tweeted that again. Like, I want to see if I did it a second time because I might recycle it. I'm not going to lie. Why not? Come on, comedians could go and tell their same joke.
That's exactly what I think. Yeah. So why can't we?
Can't I tell it twice? I mean, there are definitely some jokes that are so good you can't do a second time because everybody knows. Come on, man, you did that one already. But
Yeah.
Most of my jokes are shitty, so I can do them multiple times and nobody complains about it.
It's funny that I an anxiety tweet. That's the first tweet that I don't even know how to say this without sounding like a total jackass, but it's like it got me more popularity on Twitter. I think I only had maybe 1,000 followers or something like that.
Yeah.
A couple thousand maybe. And then that's the one that really went viral and had bigger comedians kind of following me and retweeting me and reaching out to me.
Who was the first big retweet? Do you know?
Patton Oswalt.
Oh my God. That's humongous. Absolutely. That one. Yeah. He has millions of followers. That one.
He retweeted me like a month ago. And now I feel shitty about it.
Why?
Especially because after what happened.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, crap. Now I'm like, no one's going to like.
He's like, the best. He's really the best. And when he started following me, I actually freaked out. I remember it was a Sunday night. I remember this very clearly. It was a Sunday night. And I remember I just came out of a movie theater. I was watching. I can't remember what I was watching even. But I came out and I went to my Twitter. And when it just said like, you know. It just kept. It didn't. It was acting weird.
Yeah, it goes a little shape.
Yeah,
like this.
Yeah. I was like, what's
getting hot? What's
going
doing?
On? Yeah, I was like, I'm like a hot pocket. I'm like, ah, what is this? And I was just like, oh great, my Twitter app broke. That's just fucking great. You know what? Fuck this. And I was so pissed off. And then I had a bunch of direct messages saying, hey, congrats. And I was like, what is going on here? And like, hey, congratulations. And I just was like, okay, I don't know what's going on here.
Am I pregnant?
What's happening? And then finally someone said, Patton Oswalt retweeted you. Did you see? And not only did he retweet that one, but I think about half an hour after that, he retweeted like 5 or 6 in a row.
Wow.
So he was
He doesn't even follow me. He retweeted me, but he doesn't follow me.
Yeah. Weird.
I think that's what happened. I think he retweeted me a bunch, and then I actually ended up kind of going after him like, hey, thanks. And then, I don't know. And then he eventually followed me.
I always wonder if that thanks is good or if that's going to make him not. Like, Andy Richter retweeted me, and was my biggest tweet is an Andy Richter retweet, and I thanked him, but then I'm like, ugh, he probably thinks I'm a douche now. That's why he's not following me.
How dare you be nice? How dare you, sir?
Can't believe I said thank you for a retweet.
Gross.
I am but come on, we've all like probably said to a friend who's retweeted, hey, thanks for the retweet. And they're like, you don't have to thank me for a retweet, right?
Yeah.
Have we been there? Is it just me?
No, I do. I do that all the time. I used to. I stopped doing it just because, I kept getting that. They're just like, you don't have to thank me. And
exactly.
Then I felt really weird. So then I had to block them and then we don't talk anymore.
Right. It's very sad.
It's weird. It's really weird.
Eliza has been named.
Oh, God.
One of Playboy's 30th funniest people on Twitter. XO Jane's 25 funniest women to follow on Twitter. Huffington Post UK's people to follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
Not even women, just in general.
That's good.
Hooray.
That's
hooray.
BuzzFeed's funniest people on Twitter and some eCard's funniest women on Twitter to follow. Just to name a few. I'm sure you were serious.
I am very happy to hear that a lot of them are just people.
I am a people. I'm not just a woman people.
You're also regularly featured in In Touch magazine. Is that right?
Yes.
How does that happen?
I get asked that a lot. I get asked that a lot because usually they pick pretty high profile people. They usually have like all the late night guys.
As if you're not high profile.
You know what I mean. Oh, stop it. Oh, gosh. But, like the late night guys.
It's like Seth Meyers
Then
Eliza Bain. Sometimes
Warren Holstein can get in it too. And there's a few of us that kind of like a couple of randos, like us. Like we get in there somehow. I just basically was tweeting and then somebody told me I'm in Touch Weekly. And then of course they were like, how did you do that? And I said, I have no clue. And I basically got in the car and I was like, drove. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of that. And I went and I got like 3 magazines. I was like, I'm in a magazine. And they even used my picture. I was excited. Yeah, I was really excited. It's like a little tiny picture, but who cares?
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares? That's great.
Middle
collage.
I saw
you once. This is like way after I started following you like a year ago. I was like getting my nails done. I'm like, Eliza's in here.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's so cute.
And the lady doing my nails is like, who? What is
who
Tweet at? What is Tweet at? What do you want in it with gel money? Like she was just not having it. Anyway, sorry. We're gonna lose. I just got really racist.
The Asian people that were listening.
I just got.
Oh my God.
I just got really racist.
Do any of the kudos or any of that, does that help you professionally? Being in Touch magazine, has that gotten you jobs?
Let's see. I mean, it's certainly something that you can use when you're pitching yourself to a show or you're pitching yourself to a friend.
It's on the resume.
It's on the resume. It's just something that kind of looks good. It's a nice little thing to be able to...
Cherry on top.
Exactly.
Do you have any tweets you're embarrassed about?
All of them?
No, stop it. Or like,
no, it's true. It's true. They're like my children. I wish I'd never had any of them.
I wish they aborted them.
Let's see. Which ones am I embarrassed? I mean, the ones that I did in the beginning, I've erased them all. But there was some pretty bad, like when I first started, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so I did a lot of puns, like real, so stupid, like bad wordplay.
I think Twitter's great for puns though.
You know, there's a way to do puns that's actually not bad. It's like you kind of do an elevated pun and then that's okay.
Jason Ritter. If you follow Jason Ritter, he does that kind of stuff. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, because there's ways to do wordplay where it's actually intelligent and clever. And then there's just, I'm a site for psoriasis.
Right.
Which is one of my tweets. Please don't unfollow me. Please don't unfollow me. Please.
I hope you didn't delete that one.
I did. No, I did. It was so bad. It's so bad. Oh, man.
That's a good one. I actually like that one. My first tweets were like,
I'm at the dry cleaners, guys.
Something like that. Same. My very first tweet was that, and it's true. I was using the mouse on my work computer. I hear, and they blew up. The batteries blew up inside the mouse. And that's what my first tweet was about. My mouse battery was blowing up. Yeah.
Wow.
And then it was like the Yankees, you know. We didn't really get the, hey, there's a comedy scene kind of thing going on over there. And eventually that happened. I think with the first podcast that I did. But
I checked to see my first tweet. And I think I was at the airport because I was saying, whoever designed LAX like must have designed hell or the devil or something like that. It was just me being
so
angry.
You immediately, though, knew to like kind of put up like something.
I also was very like, I would tweet like when I first got on Twitter, I tweeted like once a month. I did this in the way beginning, like when it just started. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I'm going to do something, it's going to be good. And I'm not going to look at it and I'm going to just do it. And this is what I'm going to turn out.
Right.
And now I do it like every hour. But I don't know. I feel like in the beginning, it was not as saturated as it is now.
No, so. They pitched it. I mean, originally, I mean, I was actually one of the very first persons. Mm-hmm. I was one of the very first.
It was for studios.
I was pitched. It was pitched to me. I was dating this guy. He was a total nerd. And he was like, yeah, it's like this new kind of group text thing, which is kind of horrifying, really. But you know, I was into him, so I signed up. It's so late. But then it was kind of like, hey, guys, I'm going to the beach. Hey, guys, I'm going to sandwich.
Now you're on group text with like 100,000 people or so.
Right, exactly.
Do you know how many people you have following you?
I have... I think 35,000.
No,
I think
you had more personally.
Then feel free.
Genuine. Can I
they're
just
real.
Say?
I don't. Yeah, I don't buy followers or retweets.
I know. Sometimes I'll see someone following me, and I look at them like, "Holy shit, they have like 100K." But I look at their tweets, and they get like one star per or whatever.
That's
heart
clear.
Or
that you know, like, one's the people who follow back everybody they follow, so they have 100,000 followers, but they follow 100,000.
Mine are genuine.
Yeah.
They talk back to me.
You know what? You should direct message those people and just ask them like, "What is it like living in a house of lies?" Just ask them that.
Well, the other thing
like having fake friends
really driving me a little bit crazy for a while was like I would see people with like 12 followers and then their top tweet is like 400 retweets. And I'm like, my top tweet doesn't have 400 retweets. What is this? And then I found out that they're in like a club.
A club?
Yes, it's a retweet club.
No! The army.
I've heard of this.
The army, the Twitter army.
Yes,
I've heard of
army?
It as the Twitter army.
Okay.
I'm not part of it.
And then
honestly.
You have to be friends and then everybody retweets.
I know. I see it sometimes.
It's like a circle
guys.
Jerk.
It is that's what it is.
Right? Yeah. Circle jerk. I'm going to call it that.
The
I'm
giant
Twitter.
Twitter circle jerk. We should out them.
Let's do it.
I think we just did.
We're watching you guys. We're watching
what you're doing.
We know what you're doing.
We're coming after you. Do you care when people at reply you? And do you get a lot of guys like creepily at replying you?
You know, actually, I used to get a lot of really creepy guys responding to me. And I only dated a couple of them. Okay. Thanks for following me, guys. I did get a bunch of really weird guys in the beginning. But I think the trick is you just don't acknowledge them.
You don't acknowledge, yeah.
You cannot acknowledge them because the minute you do, because they're usually crazy.
They want that.
They want that. So even if it's kind of something negative, they still think it's attention. It's just, it's negging, right? So you just kind of have to ignore
that. Don't feed the trolls.
The trolls.
Yeah, I used to because I used to get really annoyed when people would like retweet compliments, like, "Oh, you're so beautiful," and like someone would retweet that. I'm like, "Ew, why are you doing that?" So I would retweet all the people that were like, "You're not funny." You're this. So I used to retweet them, but then I was like, "I'm not even acknowledging it."
See, because I think they even like that. But
they
I
like
where you're going. I like the intention there. I think that's great because it's like you're making fun of yourself. But then at the same time, I feel people get encouraged by that. Like, even people who may not have wanted to do that, but then they're like, "Oh, wait, she might retweet me."
Exactly.
So
exactly. That's
why
I didn't want it to do.
It's just weird.
I have a guy that's still like, he just hates me, but follows me for some reason.
That's what's
I've
so
muted
weird.
Him since, but like once in a while, if I have a tweet that has like a lot of at replies, I'll look at it and he'll be like, "You're the worst comedian ever." I'm like, I'm not even a fucking, I work at a software company, idiot. Like, I'm not purporting to be a comedian. He's like, "Can't believe you're a comedian." I'm like, oh, he called me a comedian. That's sweet.
I had this one guy who was just like, your jokes suck. Do you write for Full, or was it, do you write for Full House? And I was just like, man, I wish I wrote for Full House.
I'd be loaded, man.
Yeah. And then he was so pissed. He was like, I can't. And then I just muted him. I don't block anybody either. That's the thing, because that's also still acknowledging them. Oh. So I just mute them.
Oh, really? Because they don't know unless they go figure it out that you block them. Unless like they go look at your page.
If they go to your page, if they go to your page, I
mute them.
Do you guys have
any... Which is funny because sometimes I'll mute like a bunch of people because some people will reply to every one of my tweets, which is annoying.
Oh my God.
Mute those fuckers.
So I mute them. So sometimes I'll go see like what they happen to say one day. And I'm like, really? That is what, like, that is not a comment. Like,
have you guys been blocked by anybody that you can think of?
Yeah, I have.
I've been blocked. I was actually recently blocked by a guy who went after me. I think I did a Donald Trump, an anti-Donald Trump thing. And of course, he's one of these Trump lovers.
Yeah.
So anyway, he went after me. He was like calling me all these different names. And so then I was just, and I wasn't actually on Twitter for 7 minutes, which was weird. And then I went to his page and he'd blocked me after he had said all this stuff about me. Like, what an idiot.
That's just infuriating though. Don't you want to be like, oh, I'm going to make another account just to fucking write back to you, you asshole. My only block that I even know about, I'm still hoping it's a mistake, is Jason Biggs.
Because
I was like, you know, friendly with him. And then one day I see that he unfollowed me. I'm like, okay, fine. That's fine if he unfollowed me.
Right.
And then I went, I'm blocked. And I'm like, what? Right. So like Nuzzy and I know Jenny Mullen, his wife. And I'm like, dude, like, and we've hung out with Jason before. Mm-hmm. Jason blocked me for some reason. And I hadn't tweeted anything like, and he's a pretty like controversial, like he doesn't mind crazy tweets. Mm-hmm. And so he actually hit up Jenny and was like, hey, what? Why did Jason block guy? And she's like, no, he didn't. And so I'm hoping it was a mistake, but he still hasn't unblocked me.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't
Jason,
a mistake.
If you're listening right now, there's
he's not because he blocked him.
Right.
Oh,
definitely not.
Oh, well, then what about, well, is he following you? I think he's following me.
Okay. If you can Jason, do something.
Jason, do something. There's a lot of hurt feelings going on right now.
Between the powers of all of us.
Quick, let's do a seance, guys. Let's do it.
We will bring up, we'll bring up the Twitter saints or whatever.
So you're a woman of many talents. Seriously, a young lady. Very eclectic. You do a bunch of different, maybe it's not so eclectic, but because it's all in the entertainment business, but you do, you write, you produce, you know, you're on the radio. Is there a favorite thing for you? Like, what does Eliza Bain want to do going forward first and foremost?
I mean, what I really love to do, I think I said this earlier too, but I love being able to create something that's all me.
Yeah.
And so when you work with other people, I mean, that's really great, but when you work, and I'm sure you guys know, when you start working with other people, you say, hey, this is what I want to do. And they go, okay, great. We're going to shred that. Why don't you try again? And like, they kind of really want to kind of get involved and make you do whatever, you know, they want, which is, you know, part of the business. But for me, I think the most exciting thing is to be able to have a vision and to have a creative goal and to be able to see that to fruition and be able to be in charge creatively, whatever that is. I mean, I would love to do a TV show and be a showrunner. I would love to have my own comedy show. I'd love to be in the show. So I'd love to actually still be able to do everything that I can and be able to put it in one project. So even do the soundtrack would be totally cool for me. And then
that'd be awesome.
You would like to have the Eliza Bane show.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
The
Bane existence. What?
Which is your Tumblr.
That
right?
is my Tumblr. I just plugged my Tumblr like an asshole.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, your Twitter. You're at Eliza Bane on Twitter.
That's right.
Are you? You're on Instagram.
I am.
Is also Eliza Bane?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want people to contact you on Facebook?
No, I don't. No, I don't really do
Facebook.
Facebook.
Not into the Facebook.
Facebook is just like so awful, and I can't. It's just too much. I don't know what's happening with the algorithms, but I feel like there's somebody.
She's fun on Instagram, everybody. It's like
thank you.
Delight.
Thank
on
you.
Instagram.
I would love some more followers. Come follow me. I wonder if you bastards.
It's the because
I don't think you do follow me.
Well,
here's
I'm gonna
the
have
thing.
To.
Yeah. What is up with that?
On Instagram, I have them. I have either I get really entertained or like ugh. Hate it. I'm mainly because I'm jealous.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm just like, oh, look at these people having a fun time at a party. Well, I guess my invite got lost. Yeah, see,
I'm
that's me.
You.
That's me.
Absolutely following
that's
you.
That's
and Eliza has like the one where like I'm actually like, right on, girl. I'm with you.
Yes, that's like, what I'm. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that. That's great.
That's why I love. That's why I really appreciate you so much. You really remind me of me because it's like everything you put out there is just not obnoxious and. You kind of have the same vision and goal. Like I also like doing creative things and all that stuff. So it's like Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Oh, thank you.
And you're not just putting up like, look at the brunch I pretended to eat, everybody.
Yeah, I don't do that. I was actually just talking about this Instagram thing. Instagram's just become this total, like, it's all about perception, you know? And it's just like, hey, look at my great life. And look how great my life is. Yeah. Look how great my hair is. And look how great this is. And it's just like, whatever. That's not how it is.
Yeah.
That's
not really your life.
Liars, you're all liars.
And everybody on Snapchat just looks like a dog.
See, I would almost rather have people all look like dogs than
I know,
just show me.
But they're cartoon dogs. I'm just like, kind of want the real fluffy thing. Yeah.
You posted on Facebook, so there are these like, and because I lost my notes on this. Okay. You have like mugs and like,
oh yes,
stationery.
Yes, I have some stationery.
Tell me about this.
I would love to. I work, a wonderful lady, her name is Lisa, and I cannot remember her last name, so I am an asshole.
Frank.
No, it's not. I want to say Krawinski. Lisa, okay. Wonderful lady.
We'll edit that in.
Wonderful lady. Wonderful. And she approached me on Twitter. So sometimes when you get a lot of followers, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've had some people like say, hey, we'd love to collaborate with you. Do a little collabo, you know who knows. So she reached out to me and a lot of other people too. Like there's some really funny, Gloria Fallon, she has some too, and Molly Katz. I can't think of who else, but there's Robin McCauley, another person, very funny.
I follow all of them.
And they're wonderful. And so they've reached out to us to kind of collaborate and make some mugs and cards and I think maybe t-shirts, but maybe not. So basically she just does all the work and she just takes whatever tweets that she finds funny and she puts them on the stuff and then...
And then there's royalties for you guys.
And then there is royalties.
See, that's the right way to do it.
Yes,
not just taking a thing and stealing it.
And stealing it. Because I will tell you that I've gone into stores before and like I'll see graphic tees and I see, you know, people's tweets and I'm just like my heart's in my throat. Like, please, please, no.
Which came first?
Please, no. Please don't do this to me. Or magnets or whatever.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I will say my anxiety tweet. I had a friend in Vancouver who said, hey, isn't this your tweet? And then she sent it to me and she was at her doctor's office and it was framed. And there was like a little like kid holding a balloon or something. And I was just like, that's my frame. I mean, you have to look at it in a positive way.
Yeah.
You just have to. It's just part of Twitter. It's like, well, let's see. I get to go in touch. But at the same time, I have so many people stealing my stuff. And then just use it as a springboard to get somewhere else. You can't really look at it like, I want to make money off this particular thing. I want to be able to use this as a springboard to something else. Because I can do other stuff too. So
I try not to get too attached to them also because I realized the main point of Twitter was me connecting to other people too. Mm-hmm. Like you meet like people like you guys. Yeah. And then that's more rewarding to me personally.
But what about the people who say, oh, well, once you put it out there, it belongs to everybody.
Nah.
Oh, those are dickheads.
They are.
I believe the technical term is dickheads for those guys. Yeah, no, that's just weird. I think that if you don't feel any sense of guilt or anything from stealing that, then there's just something wrong with you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so where could we find those cups and mugs and possibly
t-shirts? I've left it up. It's called Sapling Press, and you can go to saplingpress.com. There's also a Facebook page that you can go to, or you could always just follow me on Instagram, guys. Ooh. Or you can follow Sapling Press on Instagram, or follow us both. Hey, it's a free country. Do whatever you want. And they're really cute, and it's really like fun stuff. And you know, you're helping out people who are on Twitter who've been doing really funny stuff and not getting money for a long time.
Seriously. We provide a real service for people while they wait in line for shit.
Right, exactly, totally. Like on the toilet, like how many of you people you know are on the toilet reading our stuff, and we're helping you pass the time.
I mean, it's not fair that Giselle makes us feel like shit every day. And we have to look at that
when we're in the bathroom.
Right.
Right. Agreed.
Those catalogs, and yet we get nothing when we make people just get really good abs from laughing so hard.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true.
It's funny because I do. I mean, as I always kind of have, I keep books in my bathroom that you know you want to read traditionally.
Right,
but
War and Peace. What do you keep?
No. Infinite Jest. I was like, hey, he's been in there for a couple of weeks. Is he okay?
I just never get to them.
Me talk pretty one day. Like, what are you harboring?
Well, mostly Malcolm Gladwell books is what I do.
Okay.
You know, I'm reading about 10,000 hours, but it takes me like 10,000 hours to finish his book because it's like 5 seconds at a time.
You need my little hipster's book. This one.
What's that?
It's my little hipster's book. This is a good toilet book.
That's good. Yeah, because I hate when you go in and it's like all Maxims and stuff. And it's just like, can I just have 5 minutes without feeling like shit? Just give me 5 minutes, world. Yeah. Just 5 fucking minutes.
Or like 5 minutes to remind me that people haven't jacked off here. I mean, that's what it's for, right?
I mean, I don't know. Well, tell us, guy.
Not Maxim.
It's funny to me though that they have like
Sears Mags.
I mean, when I was a kid, you know, like, National Geographic.
National. Kind of thing, well, yeah. Hell yeah, that's some hot stuff, yeah. Right?
Five lean ways you can get protein. It's like, that's not going to make you jack off.
I mean, you guys aren't going to believe this, but I was a Playboy subscriber for a long time, and it really was for the articles. Like, Playboy really had some top notch. Granted, there were boobs and stuff in there, and.
But tasteful boobs, like nice boobs.
Yeah, there's no like, you know, it's not hardcore, but it's not
tentacle porn. It's no tentacle porn, you guys. Listen, you guys haven't seen what I've seen. My eyes.
That's a different magazine that has really good articles also, actually.
Which one?
The Tentacle Porn.
Tentacle Porn Magazine?
Yeah.
Tentacle Porn Weekly?
Amazing articles. That's why I read it anyway. Well, so what's next for you? What's happening? Are we going to see you in anything? Is there
I hope so.
Are you writing something that we're going to see you?
What am I doing? God, what am I doing with my life? Oh, God.
No pressure.
Let's see what's coming up next for me. Right now I write for, I'm mostly a ghostwriter. So I get to, and it's really cool, is I get to write for a whole bunch of different comedians. And this is all just from Twitter.
Yeah.
Originally, that's how I, you know, got here. But I get to write for a bunch of different comedians, and I can't say who.
You're writing jokes.
I'm writing jokes.
Not tweets.
I'm writing actual acts for people. Whoa. Isn't that crazy? I've never even done stand-up comedy, and I've done 2 network specials now. So it's crazy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what network?
I mean, who it is. I can't say who it is.
HBO specials, you're saying?
Like Comedy Central. Comedy Central, okay. Stuff like that. So, and these are people that are like, there's older men, younger women, you know, black, white. All types of people.
Amy Schumer, no! George Wallace,
Carrot Top.
Yes. Well, people always, when a lot of people say like, oh, I love this comedian, they're so funny. I'm like, you guys know there's like 8 writers behind
them. Yeah, they have writers.
They still have to have good ones, though. It's shocking. So that must be awesome, though.
Well, no. It's not even just the writing. It's the delivering it.
Like, yeah.
You could tell it's a good joke, but
absolutely.
You know, it's a lot of factors.
When you write jokes for a comedian, is there any factor of becoming friendly with them?
What do you mean?
Like,
what's a friend?
Let's pretend you're writing jokes for Amy Schumer. Does Amy Schumer follow you on Twitter? Can you DM her in that case?
I see. Well, I mean, it's kind of a case by case basis. Like, there are some people who I write for who kind of don't really they use Twitter, but it's mostly just as a promotional tool. They don't really follow that many people. They just kind of just put their stuff out there. Then there are other people who absolutely follow me and have asked me personally, but I've also gotten people through my management company who've just said, hey, submit us a sample of what you think might work for this particular comedian.
Yeah.
And then they look it over and then they're just like, hell yeah. Or they're just like, fuck that shit.
And then do you give like...
and then fuck them.
Fuck them.
Do you give like 50 jokes and they take like 3? Or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. Because when I first started out, I remember I submitted a packet for this very prominent male comedian. Mm-hmm. And I was
Seinfeld,
just like...
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, me and Jerry. Jer. We
go way back. Yeah.
Jay Diggity.
I'm the original soup Nazi. I inspired that. Yeah. I just didn't want to give him any of my minestrone.
I totally don't even know what were we talking about. I look at something shiny.
So you send the packet in.
Of course. So I sent in a packet, and I had like normally I send it like 3 pages or whatever. It depends what we negotiate. And it was like 3 solid pages of tons of jokes, and I was just like, "These are awesome. This is awesome. I am awesome." Sent them in, and then then they show us what they're working on. You see their act, and then I was just like, "Oh man." He didn't use any of my jokes. Oh my God. And then I thought I was going to get fired. So then basically he ends up like, we end up getting on a conference call and he thanks me because he said, hey, my entire, you know, thing is all your jokes. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Cause I looked at it and I said, where are my jokes? My jokes aren't here. But
he rewrote them
to just that's just what he does. Oh. I talked to one of his other writers because I thought, you know, am I going to get fired? Like, what am I doing wrong here? Oh, God, please. I was like curled up in the fetal position in the bathtub, like rocking back and forth. Huh. Help. But yeah, that's just the way this particular comedian works is he prefers to totally rewrite it himself. It strikes, you know, a chord or whatever. It inspires him.
Yeah.
That's and then he just rewrites everything. That's just one particular person. Then I have other people who take every single thing I do, like verbatim, like everything.
Does that feel better? Like when you hear them say your exact joke, you're like,
for me.
But do you have any desire to do stand up? Have you done any open mics?
I haven't, but I get asked that a lot. And I've over the last couple of years, I've kind of been like, you know what, especially when, now that I've been writing actual specials, I've thought, gosh, maybe I can do it. But it's like she was saying, like it's there's so many moving parts to it. It's not just like, you know, you can't get up and read your tweets.
Right.
Which no. I think a lot of people, and I even think some people on Twitter kind of think that too. Like, yes. Oh, I could just get up and read my tweets. But that's not how it is at all.
No.
I mean, I used to write for, I started getting into stand-up because I used to write for comics. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends were stand-ups and they were like, hey, I like this joke. Can I use that? And I was like, okay. Yeah. And then one day I was like, hey, why don't you pay me for that?
Yeah.
And right. I started writing for my friends. And then I started to do stand-up and I stopped giving away my jokes.
Yeah.
So do you do stand-up now?
Not as much because I'm starting to write more now. And I can't be too... like I can't spread my brain into too many baskets, or at least my humor.
Right, right. That's good. Yeah, I mean, that's good. It's important to focus,
it's
for
draining.
Sure.
It's draining. If I work too hard on new material, then I'll lack in stuff I want to work on. So I'm trying to write more right now than work on stand-up. But I can still do my old stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't like doing my old stuff because I feel like comedy has a shelf life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's so, like the one, it's kind of shitty. Like it's shitty, it's one of the things that like nobody really gives a lot of credit to, which is too bad because it's so difficult to do. And at the same time, it doesn't have a shelf life. So like I'll watch an old show and I'll just be like, oh, this was so funny. And it's just not funny at all.
Yeah. It's like McDonald's. It's like, it's so good when it's hot, but then when it's
7 minutes later, it's disgusting.
Yes. Well, it still looks good. Because it's got all these preservatives in it, but it tastes shitty.
Yeah.
So that's comedy, people. Comedy is McDonald's, everyone.
I've done some open mics, and I would say if you want to feel either like the greatest comedian in the world or the biggest piece of shit ever, do open mic.
Yeah.
I've had both of those feelings. Like I've driven home and been like, oh my God, how am I not signed as a comedian? Like they died. And then other ones I'm like, I literally am like, I am a big piece of shit. That's how I feel, like a big piece of shit right now.
That's the thing. And I've actually heard, I mean, I think Patton Oswalt was saying that, you know, once you bomb, like that's a really big character building thing. And I don't have that sort of experience, but like, you know, you'll do an audition or whatever, and it's like an absolute atrocity. It's like so embarrassing. And you can either, you know, rise and just be like, look, I didn't die. Like that's basically it. It's like, you know what? I didn't die and it was awful. And then that can make you a better person, or then you can just, you know, never leave your house for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I always say this, that people, when I say I bombed on open mic, they're like, oh, crickets, huh? And I'm like, you wish you heard crickets up there. At least there's a sound if you hear crickets. Like, silence. And it is like knives cutting through your soul.
It is the sound of people looking at their phone.
Was this like a kind of like a local thing? Or?
Yeah. I live in Orange County. And so I've done it maybe 10 times, maybe more than that, at this place called Anchor Bar. Every Monday they do.
Okay.
It's a small little bar. Small. And sometimes, some nights I've walked out there like,
you know,
yes. And other times I'm like, oh my God, I'm
a
terrible
person. Even Louis C.K. would bomb in such a small little thing, I think.
I mean, that's the one thing about open mics is 90% of the people at least are comics that are waiting to go up next. And so they're half assholes. But that's the thing. If you can make those guys laugh.
Comics don't think anything is funny.
That too. And that's why if you can make them laugh, you feel even better about yourself. Like, oh, these people are half listening and they laugh. That's awesome.
Maybe the moral is that if you like yourself for who you are, it doesn't really matter who likes you. That's what losers say.
Just kidding. As long as Patton Oswalt likes you, that's
true. I better check if he's still following, because I should just check. I do that sometimes if I have someone who's following me. I'll do a tweet and I go right to their page like, did they unfollow me?
Yeah.
Did they unfollow me? Oh my God, please.
I have this image in my mind that everyone's really scrutinizing me all the time because I'm the center of the world, obviously.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, they do. They are.
Well, that's how I lost Mario Lopez.
I lost him too. I totally lost him. He's only following a couple hundred people, and I was like, hey, Mario Lopez, guy by the fountain at the Grove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Taye Diggs still following you, though?
Yes. Everyone? But you know what?
The move,
by the way, I figured it out. Nuzzy did this because Mario Lopez followed him. Mm-hmm. The move is to DM them after and be like, hey, thanks for following me. I hope I don't get too blue for you. Or you almost give them a warning because he still has Mario Lopez following him.
Oh.
And he writes terrible things. But
I don't have Mario Lopez following me.
Disclaimer.
You think that's what it was? You think it was that someone got a little too blue? I
had like 10 days with Mario Lopez and that was...
You know what? I'm not really even sure when he unfollowed me, but I kept checking. I was like, oh, he's still following me. But then I did hear that he also borrows tweets.
Oh, really?
Yes. Calling him out, Slater. That's right, Slater.
That's just the worst.
Yeah, he's worse.
You're better than that, Mario.
Yeah, Mario.
He's actually a nice guy.
Take your shirt off.
I've met him.
sorry, what?
Can we disagree that Dennis Haskins rules all of them?
Who?
Dennis. Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Belding.
Belding's the best. I saw him at Costco. He's so cool.
I saw him at Dimples Karaoke.
Oh my God, he's so great.
He was so wasted. It was amazing. So he was great. Like totally took pictures with everybody. He was super nice.
I know.
It was great.
I met him one time as well. I interviewed him, but I feel like he had a humongous head.
He has a huge head.
Right?
Yeah.
Like a really large head.
Yeah, like a bobblehead.
Anyway.
With that said, Eliza.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite charity?
Do I have a favorite charity? Myself? Can I say myself? No, that's kind of mean, maybe. Isn't it? Yeah. Let's see. A favorite charity. You know what? I don't. Okay. I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my favorite charity for this one. One of my favorite charities is Food on Foot. And Food on Foot, it's at foodonfoot.org. Essentially, they take homeless people who off the streets. Mm-hmm. They give them a plastic bag and they have them clean up the streets of Los Angeles, garbage bags. They come back and for every X amount of garbage bags they have, they get a Ralph's $5 card.
Oh, that's great.
The other thing they do is they give them bus passes and stuff like that. And so what that has done is actually gotten a bunch of homeless people off the streets.
That's amazing.
Because that's one of the biggest things is actually bus passes. Like, they just can't get to the interview. So if they can't get to the interview, they can't get the job.
That's so great. So I love that there's an exchange, too. Like, you know, they're doing something and then...
Yes.
That's great. That's important.
Something. So Food on Foot, I'm giving $100 in Eliza's name to Food on Foot.
Oh, that's so nice. I didn't even know. Oh, that's so great.
Yes, there's always a charity aspect to this part of it. I have another... I'm going to save my other favorite charity for next time somebody doesn't have a favorite charity. But
let's pick someone that doesn't have a charity.
Eliza, make sure you get a charity.
Yes, yes, yes.
And thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate
you.
You're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Follow her on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere.
Buy her mugs.
Eliza Bain.
Buy my mugs.
And buy her mugs.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.